That's Farron Young here on the Terry Burford Show, and Hello Walls, song written by Willie Nelson. Well, I've got a lady right now that I'm so proud to be able to talk to, and her name is Diane Dykeman, and Diane is a former U.S. Navy captain and writer of biographies. Good afternoon, Diane. How are you?
I'm just fine. It's great to hear Farron singing.
Oh, yeah. And tell me how you got involved in Farron Young.
I've been a Farron Young fan all my life, and I first met him while I was in college, so I would go to his concerts during my different Navy stops throughout the years, and then when he died, I was in Japan at the time, and I didn't want him to be forgotten, and I knew I would have to find something to do after I retired from the Navy, so I thought, well, why don't I write the biography of Farron Young? So I did.
And this goes does it go all over the United States?
In my career?
No, does the newsletter go all over? I guess it goes all over the world.
Oh, the newsletter. Yeah, sure. I have readers all around the world in Japan and Australia, New Zealand, the Netherlands, Canada, Great Britain.
Yeah,
sure.
Did you find Farron easy to talk with?
Oh, certainly. I never saw his bad side. He was always friendly to me, and he was proud of me since he first met me before I joined the Navy while I was in college. So as the years went by, when he would see me in the audience or standing in front of the stage in the crowd, he would salute me. So I think he was always proud of how I was doing.
Yeah, and all of your years in the Navy, when did you retire, and why did you retire?
Well, you can't stay in the Navy forever. I retired as a captain. I am a captain. I'm a retired captain. I'm not a former captain. I retired in 2004, so that's been a while. But I traveled around the world. I had 11 different duty stations in 32 years, so it was a great life, and then it was time for some younger people to become captains, so I retired and started my next life.
Okay. Now, you know a lot about Randy Travis. You've been doing a lot of stories on Randy Travis. How is Randy? Tell us about him.
Well, I published Randy's biography. He was my third biography after Farron Young and Marty Robbins, so I published Randy Travis, The Storms of Life, last summer, so that's available to everyone who wants it. And Randy has built a new life for himself. I mean, he can't speak well, and he can't walk well, so he can't perform anymore, but he's still out in the public. He's healthy and happy, and he loves seeing all his fans and staying active in the music business. He and Mary consider that good therapy for him. It really helped him get through the trauma of what happened to his body and the loss of his career to be able to stay involved in the music business. So that's been a big help for him.
Now, what about AI? Has that helped Randy Travis in his ability to be seen and heard more?
No, that's kind of a test. Mostly what's helping him is his More Life tour and the songs that they have started releasing now. And there's a lot of confusion about that, because after they did that AI song, which was rather an experiment that turned out well, they are now releasing songs that they've been working on for 10 years that he actually did record. Whenever they recorded an album, he and Kyle Lenning worked to do the best possible songs. Well, you can only put 10 songs on an album, so the remaining songs that they had went into the vault. So several years ago, Kyle Lenning went into the Warner Brothers vault and pulled out a bunch of these songs and remastered and remixed them, and they've been releasing a few of those. But those are Randy actually singing back in the 80s and 90s when he was recording. Those are just songs that never got on the album. But the AI song, that's a different story, and I'm not a fan of those things, because that was a song that Randy never recorded. He did not sing that song.
Right.
James Dupre sang it, and then they manipulated with the computer to bring Randy's voice to life, and they overlaid his voice on that recording, and then they tweaked it, so it sounds good. It sounds like Randy singing, but people who say Randy got his voice back, I don't agree with that, because that's not his voice. That's computer generated.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
him singing.
Sure.
So unlike the songs that they're releasing now that came from the vault, those are Randy singing.
Now, I was reading here the other day, maybe it was in your column that I was reading, the fact that somebody was a big fan of Randy's and asked for an autograph, and he and Mary, they flew up there and they visited this kid in his room there at the hospital.
Yes, well, and there may have been several, but the one that's been in the news was a woman who had cancer. She was a nurse, and she'd been Randy's fan for like 40 years, and then she got cancer, and she's in the hospital, and so she listened to his music while she was going through chemo and all that, and that's what she expressed as her one wish would be to meet Randy Travis. And the hospital got in touch with Randy and Mary, and they went there in person to see her. And you know, that's the kind of things that they do, Randy and Mary, as a team. Randy can't sing anymore, but he can sure visit people, and he can make them feel good. And that's the kind of thing they do. They make a habit of getting around and being present and seeing people, and I think that's what helps keep Randy going.
Now, you do the newsletter twice a month. Now, it must take you an eternity. Where do you get all the information? How do you find out all of this stuff? You know, when it happens, you've got it in the newsletter.
Well, I try. you know, it well, thanks to the internet. But I have a list of websites that I check periodically, different news sites, and I just always keep my eyes and ears open, like on Facebook, which I check several times a year. If I see something in my news feed that I think would interest my readers, then I'll copy that into a document, and various things, like I go to concerts when they come here, and a lot of times I go just so I can write up something for my readers, so I try to stay informed. Yes, it does take a lot of time, but I'm retired and my time is my own, so I can do what I want to with it.
Now, how long does it take you to write the newsletter?
I don't know. I do it bits and pieces. I mean, I put it out every other Tuesday. It's dated Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so I put it out Tuesday night, and I do it every 2 weeks. So I get it out on Wednesday. I feel this great relief. Oh, it's done. Now
yeah.
I don't have to think about it for a while. And then all of a sudden, it's Tuesday again, and a whole week has gone by, and I have to get started on the next newsletter.
Right. Now, you just recently took a trip to Nashville, and I was interested in your stories about the Bluebird Cafe. Tell me how that is.
Oh, well, you know, I have never been to the Blue Bird in Nashville, and I guess I should make an effort to do that, but when we go there, there's always enough stuff going on that we never get around to it. But in my latest newsletter, I talked about the Blue Bird experience coming to Sioux Falls, and three well-known songwriters were here last weekend, Jimmy Erie and Tim Nichols and Leslie Satcher, and what they did is I guess what often happens at the Bluebird, and I've seen songwriter rounds in other places where several singers sit on stage and then they just take turn telling the story about a song they wrote and then they sing the song.
Yeah.
And sometimes the other ones play guitar with them, sing harmony with them. And then at the Bluebird, I guess it's a series of people who come through. Like when they come to do the show in Sioux Falls, it was the same three people for the whole show. But at the Bluebird, there might be more people. And that's also where songwriters, whether they're well-known or whether they hope to be well-known, they come there and they play their music to advertise their songs. And sometimes young singers come there and because they want to be heard, and music industry people come there because they're looking for songs or looking for singers. So it's a great venue where people can just get together and play music so it spreads, so it gets shared.
Now, two that I recall, Leanne Womack got her start there, and Mo Pitney. What great singers they are.
Yes, they are, and a lot of other people, too.
Yeah. Now, Mo Pitney is keeping the country music alive. I just love his singing.
Yes. We have met him several times. They used to have concerts up in Sisseton, South Dakota, and Mo has been there for that. So we have visited with him and seen him perform at that concert, and he came up here. He and his brother went pheasant hunting, and he does a great job. That's what I just think he hasn't had the song yet to make him a big star. You know, that's what it takes. They
Absolutely.
Have to get the right song that
yeah.
really takes off, and Mo hasn't found it yet.
Well, let's do Randy Travis. We'll be back with more from Diane.
Mama always prayed that I'd be a better man than Daddy, and I determined not to let her down. Deserted by the man she loved and left to raise four children, we were the local gossip of the town. I promised her that I'd live right and not be like the others, but I wound up in jail on Christmas Day. I told her I'd be home and not to worry about my brother. When I got home, my mom had passed away. And I hear tell the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but mama, my intentions were the best. There's lots of things in my life I'd just as soon not mention. Looks like I turned out like all the rest. But mama, my intentions were the best. A little boy with big blue eyes begging to go fishing, I promised him, but never took the time. Now they won't let me see him, and I sit here a-wishing, wishing I could hold him one more time. And I hear tell the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but mama, my intentions were the best. There's lots of things in my life I'd just as soon not mention. Looks like I turned out like all the rest. But mama, my intentions were the best. But mama, my intentions were best.
Randy Travis here on the Burford Show with Diane. Diane, had you heard that song before? It's been a long time since I heard it.
I had. I was surprised you play an album cut like that. Yeah, Good Intentions. That was on his Always and Forever album, and it shows that all the songs that he did, even though they weren't hits, they definitely could have been hits because
absolutely,
they were so good.
Yeah. Now, you not only have time to do the newsletter, but you've written some books. Tell us about that.
Well, the first one, as we started talking about, I wrote the biography of Farron Young, and I started on that back in 99 when I came back from Japan, and I was stationed in Los Angeles, and I wanted to write his biography. I didn't know anything about writing a biography. I didn't know anything in the anybody in the music business. I didn't know anything about publishing, but I knew that I was going to write that book, and I would have it released in 2007, and I wanted a concert with Farron's band, the Country Deputies, and it worked out. It turned out to be, it was November 10th, 2007, at the Ernest Tubb Record Shop, and Daryl McCall fronted a Country Deputies band, and it was a great time. And while I was finishing up that biography, I thought about, well, Marty Robbins is another singer who I'd never get tired of listening to his music or talking about him, and nobody had written his biography yet. So he became my second subject, and the University of Illinois Press had published the first book, Farron's, and then when they found out I was writing about Marty, they wanted to publish that one also, and I said, sure. So that was published in 2012, and then I decided I wanted to write one more, but this time I wanted to write about somebody who was alive, and Randy Travis is another one who I was a fan, and I loved his music, and his story hadn't been told. So in 2019, the press agreed, they gave me a contract to write that one, so I researched that and met Randy and Mary and a lot of the band members, and that was published last summer in 2025.
You also was at the Grand Ole Opry for the anniversary of Bill Anderson, I understand.
Yes, when it was a dual purpose trip, because my next biography is going to be on Hargis Pig Robbins, the Nashville session pianist that, although his name isn't a household name, his music is well known, and musicians all know who he is because he played on most of the hit records out of Nashville from 1960 through Alan Jackson. So I made a trip to Nashville. I wanted to research his life, and I went on the weekend that Bill Anderson was having his 65th party, and Bill invited Alana Young and me and our guests to attend that. So that was a great evening.
And Bill Anderson, of course, he's kind of like George Jones. Who's going to take his place? Nobody can come up with great music. I think he's one of the greatest writers in country music, Bill Anderson.
Yes, he has, and he has had a hit record. I'm not sure if it's the number one, but it's been a hit record for 7 decades in a row, from the 50s up through 2015. And when somebody recently asked him if he'd had a hit record in this decade of the 20s, he said, not yet, but he's waiting.
Right. Now, if somebody wanted to get your newsletter, tell them how they can do that. And they certainly wouldn't love the stuff you put in it.
Okay, well, they can send... Well, for starters, my website is dianediekman.com. That's DianDiekman.com. And so my email address is in there, but it's Diane@DianDiekman.com, and they can send me an email and I will put them on the list. So yes, this can be anywhere in the world because it's a free email and there's no charge for it or anything. I just put them on my distribution list, and every 2 weeks, I'll send them an email.
Now, I know you probably don't have to pay to go see entertainers, but Diane, if you had to pay to go see anybody, living or dead, who would you go see? Who would you pay to go see, Diane?
Oh, my. Well, I do pay to see most of the entertainers. I mean, if like getting a... getting backstage at the Opry, I do that as a guest, but like when concerts come to town, I usually do pay to see them. And as for who I'd like to see that I haven't seen yet, well, Zach Topp is coming to Sioux Falls in December, so I'll be seeing him then. So he's one that I've been looking forward to seeing. And there are several times that I run across somebody that I think, well, I'd like to see that person in concert, but they don't come out here. But there's nobody in particular that I haven't seen that I would really like to.
Yeah, and so many people I've asked in the past few weeks who they would pay to go see, and you came up with the exact same thing, Zach Brown.
Well, Zach Topp.
I mean, Zach Topp, yeah.
Yeah, right. He is the latest big thing, and he reminds me a lot of Randy Travis because he has gotten so big so fast, and probably even faster than Randy. But I remember writing Randy's book and talking to his band members that Randy had been booked out a year, and he was an up-and-coming singer, so he got this much money and he played these smaller venues, and then as he hit, then they would get to that venue and the band members would be amazed at all the people who were there, and they'd think, well, this is a really happening town. But
yeah.
No, it's because Randy's name was growing so fast that they could, the venues could not hold the number of people who wanted to come to his concert. And I would guess that's what's happening with Zach Topp. He's been booked out for a ways, but he was booked at his level. And he's at a way higher level now than he was when he got booked.
Well, I think we've covered most everything. Anything that I missed, and Diane, you want to talk about?
No, I agree. I think we've pretty much covered it all, Terry.
All right. Well, let's close out with Marty Robbins here on the Terry Burford Show.